rid of it.
I said, well, I understand. And I kept getting more understanding. And this man never put a hand on me, but he was breaking me, and whipping me. And and Jesus Christ is the one that opens my mouth up here, because I don't do this. I have never done this. I can't, you know, can't on my own do this. I have rubber knees. My face gets flushed. But I'm here to serve Jesus. I'm here to do what He tells me to do. I'm here to stand and walk under the authority of God and His ministers and do what He's called me to do.
Amen.
And my charge to all of you today is do the same thing. Do the same thing. Make the determination in your heart to serve God at all costs.
Amen.
Amen. Give the Lord a cheer.
Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Now, see, I didn't practice with him. He didn't practice that and rehearse that or anything. He didn't know I was going to call him up here and tell him to say something for the Lord. I just told him just then. And he was ready. Doesn't the Bible say be instant in season and out of season?
Amen.
Do you know that every single member of every single church should be able to be ready to stand up and speak for Jesus instantly when they're called upon at any time,
Amen.
Day or night, regardless how they feel?
Amen.
Pastor here, you're pastor of a church, is that right? You should be able to call on any member of your congregation, male or female, and they'd be glad to come up and stand and speak for Jesus.
Amen.
Be glad to. But what keeps them from being able to? The stuff he's talking about. The thorns. The cares of the world. Deceitfulness of riches. See, without the joy, what's joyful? Huh? Mm. That's right. When you don't have the joy of the Lord working in you, then you've got something else other than joy. And it's funny is that the joy of the Lord is in you if you're a Christian. If you are a Christian, the joy of the Lord is in you. It's never left you from the moment you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, Carrie's not here tonight, but I'm going to pick on her anyway. Her husband's here, so he can go tell her about it. Carrie's my daughter. And y'all heard me, some of you heard me talk about her the other night. Carrie's a great gal. I love her. But she's like her mother, man. She could get an attitude and the lights would dim. I mean, if she walked in this tent and she was angry, these lights would be about half as bright as they are now. Now you say, well, preacher, you shouldn't be up there lying. I'm not lying. Ricky Baldwin, am I telling the truth?
Yes.
Ricky Jr., am I telling the truth? Jim, you're the husband. Am I telling the truth? Now, you know and I know that the physical lights don't literally dim, but just the oppression will come on, and it comes on her. And one day, I was talking to her, and I was asking her about this, and she's I love her. She's got this weird sense of humor. But I said, Carrie, what's the matter, honey? You feel like the day is out here? And it was all stormy and ugly and wet and bleh. You know the type of day. And she said, yes. I said, let me ask you a question, honey. I said, is the sun out there? No. I said, it's not. No. I said, Carrie, honey, didn't the sun come up today? No. Now, see, that sounds strange, but she really didn't believe the sun had come up because it was behind the clouds and she couldn't see it. It took me an hour to convince her it was there. I'm serious. Now, this is the same girl that wanted a waterbed. She wanted a waterbed, and nothing was going to convince her that she shouldn't have one. And I tried to tell her, Carrie, we live in a house where the foundation is too weak to support a waterbed. And she said, but the roof is fine.
I remember that.
Yeah?
I remember the drawing.
She said, the roof is fine. And I said, Carrie, you don't understand. The roof doesn't hold it up. It's the foundation. Uh-uh. It's the roof, and it holds up the walls, and the walls are attached to the floor. And she was convinced in her mind that it was the roof that held up the waterbed. See, some people get flipped like that in their spirits, and they don't get it right. So it took me a long time. I had to take her down to the basement and show her the boards and the beams and everything. She finally decided to get it, although I think it took her about 10 years to really accept it. But I told her, I said, Carrie, the sun is up. It goes around, you know, and comes up. The earth actually goes around the sun, and it turns and spins. And, you know, every 24 hours, the sun comes up and the sun goes down. And it finally clicked on her. And you see, what happens is, God has given us everything out here to see how He operates. Everything. And when that clouds are coming in and hiding the sun, it's like clouds in your spirit hiding the joy. And what you've got to understand is God's still there. And His joy is still there. Even when you don't feel it. See, God can't use us if we walk according to this flesh. This flesh is cursed.
Amen.
Did you know that? This flesh is cursed. It is not going to heaven.
Amen.
Jesus did not die for this flesh. He died for the real person that is in you, that is your soul and your spirit. Amen. And when you die and you go to heaven, God will give you a new flesh. And in my case, I hope it looks better. I really do. In fact, I'm looking around here, I think some of you could use a better one too.
Amen.
See, isn't that nice to be able to laugh about oneself? You don't have to take yourself so serious. I know, Scott, it's a blessing for you to be able to laugh about yourself.
Amen.
Actually, he's better looking than I am. Amen. But then again, you don't have to put up with you. I ain't going there. God needs you to walk according to faith, and faith in the Word of God.
Amen.
Faith in the Word of God. And somebody says to me, well, how can you trust this word? It's written by men. No, it's not. No, it's not. This word is written by the Creator of all things.
Amen.
God Almighty wrote this word. He just used 40 secretaries to take down the dictation.
Amen.
Yeah, well, I can agree with that in the original manuscripts. And the original tongues. Well, that's going to be kind of hard. Remember that king, God sent, was it Elijah or Jeremiah or somebody to him? Said, take this down and give it to the king. The king took it, tore it up, threw it in the fireplace. So much for the original manuscript. That lasted about 30 minutes. So God told him, make a copy of it. He wrote it down again, made the copy, and sent it to him. And the king got mad and threw it in the river. So much for the most ancient copy. If God had to depend on the original manuscript or the most ancient copy, we wouldn't even have the Word of God. And then some preacher come up to me and said, I believe it in the original manuscript and tongues. And I said, well, what about the King James? He said, well, you know, it's a translation, and you lose something in translations. I said, really? I said, wasn't Enoch translated He said, well, yes. I said, what part did Enoch lose on the way up? Was Enoch being translated into the kingdom of God and his nose fell off?
No.
Maybe he dropped an ear? Oh, Lord, I got to go back. My leg's laying down here in the swamp. How about Elijah? When Elijah was translated in the whirlwind, did he lose something?
No.
No, he was better off, wasn't he?
Amen.
When God translates a thing, it's better than the original.
Amen.
It's better than the original. I'm going to show you a secret. Now, you may agree with this, you may not. It doesn't mean anything to me if you do or don't. It's not going to make me look pretty if you agree with me. And thank God I'm not going to be any uglier. But if you agree with this and understand it, it will be good for you. And that is a very simple thing, is that God translated his word for you.
Amen.
Now, in the Old Testament, it was written in Hebrew and Chaldean. Anybody know why? That's what the people spoke.
Amen.
Duh. Oh, we got a bunch of people over here. The language is Chaldean and Hebrew. Let's write it in Chinese so they can't understand it. Does that make sense?
No.
People come to me all the time and say, well, I can't understand the King James. You don't know how to read English? It's just English. It's like listening to a Southerner, maybe, to some of you. Or like when this Flatlander gets up here, it's like listening to some of y'all, eh? Yeah, I'm a Flatlander. Lived in Vermont for 14 years. They used to say, you're a Flatlander. I said, thank God it still shows. I was afraid this Vermont stuff would rub off on me. I didn't want to start walking around funny looking. You notice the New Hampshire people are smiling, but I don't see many Vermonters smiling. Oh, don't take yourself so serious.
Amen.
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 So anyway, the world spoke in Hebrew and Chaldean, and that's what God wrote the word in, because the world that he cared about was the world of his people. So then, when it came time to write the New Testament, he wrote it in Arabic and Greek. Guess why that was, Scott?
Because all the people in that area spoke Arabic and Greek.
Hey! There you go. And guess what? God did a very marvelous thing. When he decided to put the two together, he used English because that was going to be the language of the world.
Amen.
Isn't God so smart?
Amen.
And he ordained a king. He raised up a king and ordained him to do one thing and one thing only. Write the word and put it in the hands of the people so that they could get the word and they could understand it and not have to rely on a pope that distorted the word and lied to them.
Amen.
Now, if there are any Catholics in here, I want to tell you right now, I am not against Catholics. I love Catholics just like Baptists. Each one has their idiosyncrasies. And Methodists and Presbyterians and anybody else is out there. I love the people. I just don't like the lies. The Pope can't save you.
Amen.
Neither can Billy Graham.
Amen.
Neither can Richard Utzler.
Amen.
Only Jesus Christ can save
you. Amen.
See, somebody come up to me one day, preacher, what religion are you? I said, I'm not a religion, I'm a Christian. Well, what religion? I'm not a religion, I'm a Christian. Yeah, but what religion? I said, excuse me, are you hard of hearing? I don't have a religion, I'm a Christian. Yeah, but you gotta have one. When I finally realized what he was talking about, he was talking denomination. And I said, you mean denomination? Yeah, that's it. What denomination are you? I said, I'm the same denomination Paul was.
Amen.
He said, "Really? Which one was that?" And I said, "When you figure that out, you'll know something."
Amen.
That's like being down at the Southern Baptist Church. I told a Southern Baptist preacher one time, "Do you know who the first Southern Baptist preacher was?" He said, "Yes, I do." I said, "Who's that?" He said, "John the Baptist." I said, "No, he wasn't." You ever hear that, Terry? Huh? Have you ever heard him say that John the Baptist was the first Southern Baptist preacher? John the Baptist. I said, John the Baptist was not a Christian preacher. He died before Jesus was resurrected. He could not have been a preacher of the gospel.
Amen.
He came preparing the kingdom of God for the Jews, which ended in 70 A.D. See? So he looked at me kind of weird, and he said, "Well, then I don't know." I said, "Try Apollos." Yeah. Anybody remember Apollos, Acts chapter 18? Apollos, who came preaching Christ, being an eloquent man in the Scriptures, but he only knew Jesus Christ and the baptism of John. Then in Acts 19, let's stick to Acts 18. Here comes Aquila and Priscilla. They listen to Apollos preach. They walk up to him and say, "Son, you're a pretty good preacher, but you ain't wrapped too tight. You're missing something here. Let's straighten some of you out."
Amen.
So he straightens out. They straighten him out. He says, "Yeehaw," and leaves town. Paul comes to town. He finds the church that Apollos built. And he noticed something was missing. He noticed something was missing. He said, "Any of you all received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" He said, "Huh? What are you talking about? We didn't even know there was any such thing." And he said, "Strangely, what were you baptized in then?" "Well, John's baptism." See? How many of you know that there's a difference between John's baptism of water and the baptism of water spoken of in Paul in Romans? How many know there's a difference? How many of you know there's a difference between the baptism of John for repentance and the baptism that Philip gave the eunuch? See, the baptism of John was not a Christian baptism. It was a baptism of the Jews to repent of their not following God and to turn back to Him and to show Jesus coming. But the Christian baptism of water is not a baptism of repentance. It's a baptism into Jesus.
Amen.
See? And that's why many churches today, you get a mom and daddy, you know, they have a baby, they bring the baby into the church, preacher's all good, and everybody's happy, and they take the little baby and they put little stuff on him, a little water. You're baptized, you're a Christian. And when the little child's growing up, preacher says you're a Christian, and the mom and daddy say you're a Christian. And the little child grows up into adulthood, and they believe they're Christian. And when they die, they go to hell. Because the preacher lied. And mom and dad lied. But you know what? They didn't know they lied. Because they didn't know any better. You know why they didn't know any better? Because they didn't read the book.
Amen.
You come in here and you hear me flap my tater trap for an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever long it is. I don't want you to take my word for it. Go home, get the book out, read it for yourself. Find out if I'm telling the truth.
Amen.
See? Now, sure, God backs me up by giving me authority for you. But you still remember, I'm a man. I can make mistakes. We've had beautiful meetings here. We've had some great meetings here. Scared some devils off.
Amen.
Amen. Just ran them flat out. And we've taken possession of the land.
Amen.
And God's going to continue to do some great things in here even after we're gone. even after we leave, God's going to continue to work.
Amen.
But you have got to trust in the Word of God, not in man. Now, some of y'all go to his church. Were you here the night I said, give me any church? Okay, you were here only last night. The other night I said, give me any church. I don't care what church it is. I don't care if they're Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Church of God, whatever they are. Give me any church. Give me the congregation for 2 weeks. Just 2 weeks. Without the pastor and without him knowing it. And I don't care how good he is or how bad he is. I don't care if he's a drunken alcoholic. I don't care. But give me the congregation for 2 weeks. And if God will open them up to understand this word, and they will understand the basic principle of what it means to cross over the River Jordan and walk in the kingdom of God today, they can go back to that church and serve that pastor as if serving God, not trusting the pastor, but trusting God.
Amen.
See, not looking at the man, but looking at God. And if they went into that church and did that, God would change that pastor to be a mighty man of God or get rid of him.
Amen.
Because God cannot lie.
Amen.
We in America today have pastors that we deserve. We deserve people like these pastors out here that lie and steal and cheat and deceive. You know why? Because we lie, we steal, we cheat, and we deceive. I go all over this country. I talk to people all over. They talk about Bill Clinton, Bill Clinton, Bill Clinton. I said, you're just like him. You deserve him. This country deserves Bill Clinton. That doesn't make me happy. It doesn't make me happy to say it. It doesn't make me happy to hear it. It doesn't make me happy to know it. But it does make me happy to know we can do something about it.
Amen.
And it has to start here.
Yep.
And then in the church. Because the Bible says God gives us leaders after our own hearts. And you want to look at the nation and the condition of the nation? Duh. You know, I said it the other night, and I'll say it again. I'm going to just pop little things out here tonight. I'm just going to pop a few things out here and there. Get you thinking. Go home and pray and search the scriptures on it. And check me out. One of the things I've taught this week is that the church is in trouble because it's got the wrong identity. Everybody's running around, we're the bride of Christ. You're not the bride of Christ. The church is not the bride of Christ, never has been the bride of Christ, never will be the bride of Christ.
Amen.
New Jerusalem is the bride of Christ. The church is the body of Christ.
Amen.
In 1974, I put out an offering, and it's I've never had to pay off. Had Brother Stairs, the last days, prophet of God, come up on the radio with me one time and try to prove me wrong, and I took him through the Bible, and he just stuttered. You remember that? Come up there trying to be something, and he wasn't. Trying to show the church being the bride. The identity of the church is the body. And I've said for years, show me two scriptures in the King James Bible, New Testament, that says the church is the bride of Christ, I'll pay $1,000. I've been in some churches and watched people just grab their Bibles.
I know it's there. I've seen it.
truth of the matter is not there. You won't find it. And the scriptures say there have to be two or more witnesses for anything to be established. So before you can have a doctrine, there has to be two scriptures. And there's not even one. And this guy, one preacher says, well, John the Baptist was talking about Jesus and being the bridegroom. I said, yeah, and John the Baptist said he was the friend of the bridegroom. He didn't say he was the bride. And you wonder why Vermont or Gay acted this? They got their identity screwed up. That's what a gay man is. It's a man with the wrong identity. Amen? That's what a lesbian is. It's a woman with the wrong identity. They got imbalance somewhere. And the church is running around with the wrong identity. And wondering why Satan is attacking it and destroying it. Can you imagine what I would look like in a wedding gown? Here comes the bride, all dressed in white. Preacher, you shouldn't balk like that. I imagine I could laugh Satan to death. He'd just roll out there and laugh till he died. That might work. Pastor, doesn't our Bible tell us to put on the whole armor of God? Huh? Women don't put on armor, men do. Well, of course, now in our army, you know, you don't know what's putting on the uniform. You like that, huh, Paul? God has called us to be an army. And you know how women can put on the armor of God? You know how you do it? By being in Christ.
Amen.
You see, if you're in Christ and I'm in Christ, we're in Christ, we are male. His body.
Amen.
His body. And when the body of Christ comes together as the body of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is the head of that body, Satan is afraid.
Amen.
Because he looks and sees that armor and he starts shaking. See, when I laid hands on this person here the other day, who was that? When I laid hands on you the other day and you were healed, that disease didn't see me. That disease saw Jesus.
Amen.
Because I was in Jesus.
Amen.
You hide in Jesus, you can do anything.
Amen.
When you hide in Jesus, you can do all things. Walk around in a wedding gown and you're not going to accomplish too much. See? So God, first of all, wants you to know as a church, you are the body of Christ. New Jerusalem is the bride.
Amen.
Get the identity right. Now let's talk about relationship. See, identity is one thing, relationship is another. In relationship, the church is to be obedient to Christ as the church is, as the bride to her husband. See? Did I say it pretty right? In relationship, it says the church is to be obedient as a bride to her husband.
Amen.
Well, if the church isn't obedient, how can wives be obedient?
Can't.
See, you guys, we guys running around complaining because our wives aren't obedient. But when we go to church, are we obedient? Are we obedient in our lives to Christ? Or are we living in the kingdom of self? See, you cannot. Wives cannot be obedient to their own husbands as long as the husbands are not obedient to Christ. It's an impossibility. And it's not your fault. It's not the women's fault. It's the man's fault. God has set certain things in order. And we can't change them. We can agree with them. We can walk in them. But we cannot change them.
Amen.
Do you see? So when the husbands begin to walk in Jesus Christ and begin to obey Him, and the church begins to walk in Jesus Christ and begins to obey Him, guess what? Everything else just lines up.
Amen.
Just lines up. What was it? What's that, General? Eisenhower did a little thing over in Europe one time. They asked him about his secret in leadership, and he asked somebody for a string, and they handed him a string. He said, the secret of leadership is this. He laid the string out. He said, you don't do this, and he pushed it. And when he pushed it, he had a jumbled up mess. He said, you do this, and he just dragged it along. And it all straightened out. See, he was a smart man. You lead by example, the rest will follow.
Amen.
See, if we as Christians begin to walk in the Lord, if we as Christians begin to obey God, if we as Christians begin to believe His Word, if we as Christians bow down and worship Him and serve Him, God's power starts to move through us, and pretty soon other people see it and they get jealous.
Amen.
They say, I want that. I want what they've got. But the world looks at the church now and laughs and says, I don't want a part of it. They think the church is crazy. They think we're crazy for going to church. They think I'm crazy taking this tent around and never taking up long hours of offerings and doing all that stuff that other people do. It's a, you know, like I said the other night, I've never 10 out yet that it paid for itself. Never have. And you know what? Don't care.
Amen.
I don't care. Because the whole idea of bringing this 10 out isn't about pay, it's about Jesus.
Amen.
It's about giving you what Jesus has given to me. Sharing with you so that you can receive the things of God. It's not about me. It's not about money. I don't pay Scott. I don't pay any of these guys. None of these guys. Paul left his family and came up here not knowing what to expect. Amen? What did I promise you? One meal a day and a hard time. And you what? That's right. See, I told him, I promise you one thing if you come up here. I promise you one meal a day. And you may or may not like it. And I promise you a hard time. And then I said, but I also guarantee you'll never be the same.
Amen.
And we haven't even finished out the revival, and Paul will never be the same.
Amen.
When he gets home, his family is not going to know him.
Amen.
I don't even think your pigs are going to know you. Come up, come over and grab the microphone so they can hear you.
Time hadn't been all that hard. So when the Lord changed my attitude, it's been easy.
Say that again.
When the Lord changed my attitude, I just decided it was better to do it the easy way. And when he changed my attitude, I've been having a great time.
Amen.
This is my camp, man. The summer camp is great.
See, that's really what it's all about. It's all about attitude. It's all about attitude. The attitude that I'm going to serve God and please Him, or the attitude I'm going to serve myself and please myself. And when you serve yourself and please yourself, God can't let your life be great. Listen to those words again. If He loves you, He cannot let your life be great. Because He wants you to want heaven. He wants to prepare you for eternal life with Him. And if you love this life too much, you won't want that life. See? So he won't let your life be too great until your attitude is right. And when your attitude is right to serve him, then, hey, man, this is great.
Amen.
And it's not about money anymore. And it's not about great food or having three or four suits or anything like that. What it's about is to watch Jesus operate, and I can't wait to see what he's going to do next. That's what it's all about. What time is it?
You got plenty of time. It's
8:35. Oh, hallelujah. I can preach some more. Terry, come up here and say something for Jesus.
Amen. You know, I have to say, I've watched Paul, and his face has changed. Some of it's been hitting the door, going in and out of the camper. But God just really blessed us since we've been here. And you know, the secret is to, as Richard says, not take yourself so seriously. You know, we're all in, probably not a person in here that's never had a hard time. Probably not a person in here that doesn't have something bothering them right now. Now, I'll tell you, if some of you are sick, you're in a good place for that. Like Brother Rock and Teeny, I've noticed them here every night, except for, I think, the first one. And this is a good place to be if you got some problems. But if we got problems, and I do, you know, I've got the things that bother me. But, you know, our God's good.
Amen.
And, you know, sometimes we don't feel good, but our God's still good.
Amen.
You know? And, you know, everybody that's been around the camp this week, for me, every day has been a change. And we've learned that obedience is the most important thing you can do, is obey God, as Richard has said over and over again. Because when we learn to obey God, we learn that it's not ourselves that are special. It's not something we can do. It's not even who we are. You know, Paul, he had a lot of knowledge, a lot of wisdom when he was killing Christians. You know that? Had a lot of degrees. And he came to a place when he came to know God, he found out something. He says, I've got all this, but I'll tell you something. It's not worth anything compared to one thing. He said, I count it all as dung compared to the knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Amen.
You know, when you go to the cross, see, you got to lay down what you know. See, people think that John, I'm going to pick on John there. John there, he's always making fun of me. He says, you Southerners, he's just me. It's not all Southerners. I'm from Alabama. Okay. And John, he says, you play stupid. He says, you're not stupid. And I said, but you play stupid. And I said, well, you know, we've had to learn to do that from you guys because y'all came down and... well, y'all know that story. But the thing is every day we have to realize something. Jesus died on that cross for us.
Amen.
And we go to that cross and you say, God, I thought I knew, but I know I don't. And God, I messed up again today. And I lay down what I think I know. And I want to know you better. If we really want to know Him, we'll find out something. He's good. He's great. You know, in Romans 2, it says that it's the goodness of God that brings us to repentance. See, God's the one that turns us. Richard said something a while ago. If we all had an easy life on this world, would we ever turn to God? No.
If you never had a problem, had all the money in the bank. Me and my brother talked today about having a bunch of money. You know, we were talking about having a bunch of money, several million dollars. And I said, you know what? If you had that money, would you be here? Well, he said, maybe. I said, I wouldn't be. You know why? The fact the Lord knew if he'd answered my prayer for the last night, 10, 12, 15, 17 years, and gave me what I asked for every time I asked, I would have missed him a million times. Because I would have had a new boat and been fishing, or I'd been somewhere else. And he's used circumstances to correct me. You know, I get corrected. I got corrected. What? Today? Of course, you know, Richard pretty much corrects me every day. So does God. And you know what? That pleases me. You know why? God corrects his children.
Amen.
See? So I know I'm his. I knew that anyway, but I guess he's got to correct me a lot sometimes. But the one thing I'd say to you guys up here, you got a beautiful country. You got things to look at. You probably got a nice life. But Jesus is more important than that. See, we can change our families by obeying God. Wives, you obey God, it'll change your husband, just like Richard said. We can change this country. But he's changing us. If you don't know him, I mean know him, not about God. We sit and talk to a bunch of people that they know about God. I'm talking about knowing. You know, I tell somebody, you know, God told me this. And I told a preacher that one time. He said, oh, God, don't talk anymore. Only in the written word. And I said, my God talks. Same way he did. He's not changed. Now, he don't talk to all of us the same. But he talks.
Amen.
And if you don't know him, I would just ask you to not think about it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Jesus, lover of my soul. Praise God. While he's finding that, I was at a church one time. Went to a church down in North Carolina. They had 100 acres of land, and I wanted to use a piece of it to put the tent up. And I went to the pastor, and I asked him if I could put the tent down there. And he said, well, I have to check with my board of deacons. John, you remember this. And I told John we left. I said, we're not going to get that land. I said, that preacher doesn't want to give it to us. He's just going to blame the deacons. See? So he was supposed to call me back, which he didn't do. See, I wonder why people don't trust Christians. Here's a pastor lied to me and then lied again. How can people trust you if you lie? Because you see, what did I say the other day? That thing you fear is your God. If you fear what people think of you, then people are your God. God told Joshua to be strong and of a good courage. Why? So he'd do the say and do the right thing. There's a lady here tonight. Come up to me after the service the other night. I did something I never do. I came in the tent after the service. And she asked me a question, and I talked to her, and I talked to her harshly. Why? Because I hate her? No. Because she needed to hear the truth. She needed to hear the truth. Too many pastors are afraid to tell the truth because they're afraid they won't be liked. This pastor lied to me because he was afraid of what I'd think. So I wasn't going to let him get away with it. Because I'm a watchman. It's my job. So I went back to the pastor and called him up and said, did you have your board of deacons meeting? Yes, I did. What'd they say? Well, you know, they said they were afraid. They didn't know what to do, and you know, they don't know you. And well, you know, you understand. I said, yeah, I understand. Well, you got to understand, you know, I have to agree with them. You know, we don't know who you are, and we're afraid of what you might say. And you know, you wouldn't want to give your pulpit to a perfect stranger. I said, see, my Bible says God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind.
Amen.
And if you were half the man of God you think you are, you wouldn't be afraid of any man.
Amen.
Let alone me. Secondly, I don't want your pulpit. I've got my own pulpit. And thirdly, you're wrong again. Any man can come up and speak in my church. I don't care who he is or where he's from. Because in our church, the truth of the Word of God is taught. And the people in my church read their Bibles and study their Bibles. And if a preacher comes up there and preaches something stupid, I'm not going to tell him. They will. And I told him, I said, see, your problem is you're like the mother that doesn't want her child to get dirty. You bathe him 15, 20 times a day. You put him in a bubble. But one day you're not going to be there. And the child's going to go out in the world. When he goes out in the world, it's not going to have an immune system.